Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Barb Gretsch. I'm your host for today, and I'm speaking with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, and the author of Critical Issues Commentary. In our current series, we've been critiquing John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way. We've been talking about the sin problem as John Mark Comer lays it out. And he has said that sin is a problem for us, but he sees several different categories of sin. And the problem of sin, he sees it presented in different ways. And one of the ways we discussed in our last episode was the forensic idea of the blood atonement and forgiveness of sins. As this chapter continues on page 94, Comer talks about forgiveness of sins and the idea of being saved. And he refers to the Greek word, I believe it's sozo, Bob, that it's a word that means saved. And he talks about how Jesus provided both healing and salvation, and that word pictures both of them.
Yeah, sozo is to be rescued from serious peril. So the context would indicate what sort of peril you're being rescued from. Okay? So in the context of discussing salvation from God's wrath, salvation means the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, cleanses us, and his death paid the penalty on our behalf, substitutionary atonement. Now, in some other context where it talks about somebody having some other peril, they can be saved from that, like from a shipwreck or perhaps from a disease. The context determines it. But if we're talking about the gospel and salvation in the greatest sense, we're talking about being saved from the wrath of God against sin.
Okay, I've got Romans 10:13 here where it says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Right.
So that's that word.
Yes. Saved. And so we would be confessing Christ, calling upon him for our greatest need, which is to be rescued from the wrath of God. Now, he likes to point out that because there are these other possibilities, we have to sort of choose between the theories or emphasize what we see fit. So he says salvation, page 94, is not just about getting back on the right side of God's mercy through judicial acquittal. But again, that's kind of a downplay. It's sort of true, but there's more to it. He said it's about having your soul healed by God's loving touch. So it's having this gradual healing that would go on. And then over on page 95, the beginning of our healing / salvation is what Christians call confession. Confession, says Comer, is a core practice of the way, and contrary to what many think, is not all about beating yourself up in public. It's about courageously naming your woundedness and wickedness in the presence of a loving community as you journey together toward wholeness. So there's the process, naming your woundedness in a community. That's the therapeutic approach. But before that's even salient to someone who is alienated from God and facing his wrath, you have to have the confession of Christ as taught in Romans chapter 10. So naming your woundedness is a kind of a weak version of confessing that you have offended a holy God, and that Jesus Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust who pair on behalf of, that he might bring us to God. So if that's not front and center, and that's not defining who we are, this other therapeutic version of naming your woundedness in the presence of a community is kind of a process with no apparent end.
Yes, so it can even devolve into, wallowing in victimhood or coming up with wrong definitions of what is sin.
Well, that's true. And so I'm not negating the idea that it's possible in a group to overcome a certain sin, like addiction, through AA. Okay?
Okay.
But remember a couple of sessions ago talking about this big category in Adam and the other category in Christ? So in Adam, there's alienation from God. You can be alienated from God and prefer some other version of religion than Christianity and go to a therapy for a certain behavior that you want to be done with, like drinking. And an alcoholic can get sober and still stay alienated from God. There are a lot of people sober who don't know Christ. There's a lot of people that get over gambling addiction in a group by going through the process of naming your woundedness, presence of the group. And so you may be somebody in Adam, like the whole world without Christ, and get over gambling away all the family's money or whatever it is. And so you can go down a list. So you can take things that may be true for some sinners but not others, go through that kind of process, get free from that. But you may not have ever been forgiven of your sins. You may never have confessed Christ for forgiveness of sins and be delivered from the wrath of God. The big category, wrath of God against sin in Adam, redemption and atonement, conversion, confession of Christ, in Christ, forgiven, bound for heaven. That's the big category. Now the question is it needful for Christians, if they are in Christ, to spend the rest of their lives going through this process of naming your woundedness and discussing things you didn't like about what life was like in your family of origin or whatever it might be? So when I saw that coming into the seminary, I knew it was a dead end. And it's a substitute for the process of sanctification. Now, we were discussing a verse, and I was wrong about where it was. Barb was right. It was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you want to read that?
Sure. 1 Corinthians 6, maybe I'm going to start at verse 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God.
Amen. Thank you. Here, I preached for that through that a couple of years ago, and I was the one that had the reference wrong. I was thinking 2 Corinthians. Thank you. But notice the decisive nature of what happens, okay, in that passage. Such
Yeah.
were some of you, but you were sanctified, justified, so on. It's a decisive, in fact, in Hebrews, we can call it decisive purgation. Okay? The once for alls of the Bible, what God did once for all. So for those in Christ, this decisive nature of forgiveness and change that gives us different status before God undergirds everything. And it doesn't mean we don't pray for one another. It doesn't mean we don't get together in groups and teach each other and pray and confess things as needed and appropriate. It doesn't mean that. But that's all done in the context of the decisive having already happened. But when John Mark Comer takes the decisive and makes it simply one of the theories that's from the West, and you could just be Eastern and not have that sort of thing, then he puts everybody in the same camp as being in Adam. And so you just spend the rest of your life in therapy. That's why I objected to that when I came in to the seminary. So you have to have the ground of the decisive to end up with a statement that Paul made in 1 Corinthians 6. Now, the 1 Corinthians letter is written to people who are compromising with the world terribly. Okay? They had all kinds of bad ideas. They're going to the pagan feasts. They're compromising with pagan temples with prostitutes. They're compromised seriously. But Paul called them back to the decisive and rebuked them, okay, which sometimes is what needs to happen. So we want to point out that this therapeutic version of spiritual formation promoted by John Mark Comer is not the definitive for biblical Christianity. He ignores the decisive every time and goes to the process.
Yes.
The decisive out the window, the process forever and ever. It started from before you were born. You were being formed all through life, through everything done to you, by you, around you, by these categories. And it continues on as you try to become like Jesus as you go through the process of naming your woundedness and so on. The decisive really has no place in there. I'm saying that this is futile. The lifetime gradual spiritual formation process is futile. Now, I want to reference something here. I'm teaching through Hebrews now, and I think you have that in the notes I sent. Hebrews
Yep.
10, 11 through 14. Hebrews 10, starting with verse 11.
Okay. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifices for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's Hebrews 10, 11 through 14.
By one offering, he's perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's why they're called saints. Now, why doesn't John Mark Comer know anything about Hebrews 10:14? Because he didn't like it, I'm sure. He seems to know the Bible. He doesn't seem to know that one. The William Lane, one of the commentaries they have, calls this decisive purgation. And it's in contrast to the Old Testament sacrifices Levitical priesthood that were at one time were ordained of, by God to point to the need for the sacrifice. But they were done over and over again because they never took away sins. The sacrifice Christ made, he did once for all and for all time. And so if you don't have the decisive, you have a confused conglomeration of various processes, discussions of naming woundedness, figuring out who did what to whom, when, and what you thought about it. And you go through this endlessly, endlessly in the therapeutic culture and never come to the knowledge of the truth. Never come to cleansing, hope, redemption, forgiveness, being a saint, knowing that when the Lord comes, you'll be brought up to be with him if you're still alive when that happens, and that he will ultimately defeat all enemies. So rather than forensic justification, John Mark Comer promotes the gradual healing approach of a physician to whom we open ourselves. Naming your illness. Could you look up, I didn't put this in the notes, but John 3:36. I'd like
Sure.
to use that verse to preach the gospel in our church services when it's my turn to preach. Well, we always bring the gospel out, but sometimes I like John 3:36. Do you want to read
That's a,
that?
yeah, I got it. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Isn't that an either or?
It is.
Absolutely. It's decisive. If you don't believe the Son, obviously you don't obey the Son. Because he calls everyone to belief in himself. It's the work of God, it says in John 6. And there's a play on words there in a sense of the genitive. I have to look at it again. I think it's genitive. The work of God can mean the work that God does, or a work that pleases God. I think that the fact is faith does please God, but it's his work. God's doing that you're in Christ.
Yes.
So the point is, the decisive is always there. And so you can't remove that. And to think that you're going to be like Jesus when you ignore the clear teachings of the Bible and point it out that, well, that's just one theory that Western Christians like. When any reading that gives due diligence to the emphasis of the Bible itself will say that the decisive is decisive.
He who
Okay.
has life.
Yeah, if you don't have that, you're just messing around trying to be a little bit better off than the other people in Adam that are still under God's wrath. So when Paul said you were justified, you were sanctified to people with various bondages, you're saying that to Christians who are trusting in Christ. So I think we need to really take heed and get this straight. And I'm so alarmed that I'm glad to hear from people. Thank you for contacting us. And I've heard from people who said, well, our church is doing this book by John Mark Comer. Pastors, you can do better. If you're an evangelical pastor, you can understand these decisive passages and preach them. You don't need to turn people over to this amorphous, ambiguous, hopeless process of naming your woundedness. Because I don't quite see how that's going to take away sins.
Yes, and we would encourage you to turn to Jesus and put your faith and hope in him. And he definitely gives hope, and he'll deliver us into the kingdom of light. So thank you, Bob. We would also encourage you, Bob has just begun a series on the book of Hebrews. He's just started chapter 2 in Hebrews. You can join us at ggf.church. You can look under the sermons there and join us as we're studying decisive purgation and learning more about the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. We want to remind you that you can access this program and many others, as well as years' worth of articles at the website cicministry.org. And we want to remind all of you, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel. For Critical Issues Commentary, this has been Barb Gretsch and
Bob DeWay.
we'll see you soon. Thank you.